welcome to a tiny little podcastette of
Podcastino
of Unified Review Theory by Neil and James, age
my
seven.
Name's Neil Cameron. I'm incredibly famous and good looking.
Didn't we do this joke last time?
Yeah, we're doing it again.
Okay, my name's James Cameron, and I'm all the things that Neil believes he is, but in reality...
This is our new, like, shtick. We have a little catchphrase where at the start we talk about how great I am and how terrible you are, and that's our comedy routine now.
That does sound pretty comedic.
Yes, we should do that always. And actually not just on the podcast, but like when we hang out and meet other people and stuff.
I suppose it's like when you call Little John Little John. It's the comedy of the disparity between the words and the reality.
Is that why Richard Littlejohn's called that?
Yes.
Because he has a big John.
He has a big, big John.
Yeah, okay. So yeah, I'm Neil. I'm the one on this side of your headphones, if James has bothered to learn how to do that when mixing a podcast.
I thought I did it last time.
Oh, did you? Okay.
Did you listen on headphones?
Possibly not. No. That's James. He's on the other side.
This is James, and this is the Unified Review Theory podcast in which we review things and never digress.
This is the Unified Review Theory podcast in which we spend the first couple of minutes gibbering unintelligibly and maybe get to the point sometime before we all go home and go to bed.
My wife suggested on the last one that maybe I should have cut it a bit. But I don't know. Cinema verite, you know. It's who are we to deceive people?
I like how Debbie, when we were doing this, when she referred to it as not as a podcast, she called it a play tape, I think.
Yes.
I was just thinking about that today, and I think that should actually be the official name.
She would be very happy. She did refer to the last one as a bit play tapey at the start.
What does that mean?
Well, I think her and her sister, when they were young, I'm sure we did something similar. They used to just record themselves like pretending to do radio shows and things like that.
Oh, yeah.
So in this podcast, what we do, if you've never listened before but decide to randomly start listening on this one, is we review every single thing that God has created and all the things the devil has created. And
and all the things that just exist in a meaningless universe.
Yeah, those things too. And we just say, are they good or not? I think with you...
And, crucially, give them marks out of 10.
Yeah, with the eventual goal of we can just sort out what stuff can be chucked and what stuff we want to keep.
Yeah, so we'll be reviewing a couple of subjects tonight, drawn from the rich field of things that exist, or not, things that might exist. And then we will decide which one is best, and then at some future date, the arbiters of stuff that should exist might choose to bin one or the other.
Yeah, so if you know... If the universe goes full cycle and then gets destroyed in a big crunch and then there's another big bang and then the universe is created again, they can use this as a guide.
Oh, okay, so God can use Unified Review Theory in the next iteration of creation to make everything better and leave out, you know, sucky things like Julie Birchhill and ice cream-flavoured Monster Munch.
Yes.
Cool. Awesome. Well, I didn't know, even know God was a listener, but it's nice to know.
Yes. Some might say he was a contributor.
Unexpectedly spiritual today, James.
So what's our first subject matter, Neil?
Quick review.
I have an idea. I think you wanted to talk about Mongolia.
Mongolia, Neil. Yeah, I don't know much about Mongolia. I hope you have a lot of knowledge that we can use to fully...
Are you trying to pin this on me? You said we should review Mongolia. I said, I don't know if I've got a lot to say about the country of Mongolia. And you said, yeah, let's do it. And now you're trying to make out...
That's not how I recall it going down.
Good God. Okay, so Mongolia is a country in Central Asia.
It's pretty big, I think.
It's enormous. The biggest country in the world.
You sure about that?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, Mongolia, biggest country in the world.
Do you want some more facts about Mongolia?
It has an outer and an inner region.
That's true. Which is best?
Inner.
Controversial.
Whenever there's a choice between two, always go for inner.
I remember that, yes. Okay, anything else?
They have woks.
That's true.
And they have...
Where they cook your food in front of you.
Yes, hence the Mongolian wok bar, which is probably my prime exposure to Mongolian culture.
I would say the Mongolian wok bar that used to exist in Oxford and Genghis Khan in the movie Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Yes, and other things, I think.
I don't want to come off as like massively ignorant here, but those are pretty much my exposure to Mongolia. Di's been to Mongolia.
Has she?
We should probably get her to be a guest reviewer on this one. Or we could just ramble on.
I think we know what works. Really, informed opinions have no place on Unified Review Theory.
So true, so true.
Based speculation. I think it's pretty cold, isn't it? It's like kind of halfway between Russia and China.
I thought it was a desert.
Maybe it's a cold desert.
Well, yeah, that's...
They wear like furry coats, don't they?
That's true. You know that bit in Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon where the dude steals her comb and then escapes and she chases him into the desert?
Yeah.
Is that not Mongolia?
I thought it was China.
That was pretty hot. Well,
I think China's got deserts, hasn't it?
Jesus, this is the worst thing that has ever been recorded by anyone. What were you thinking?
I think it's funny. But the Mongolians... Okay. So the Mongols
are... Do you think that... It's all very well for you exposing your massive ignorance to the world. I'm exposing my massive ignorance to the world, and I don't know... I'm embarrassed about that.
Well, you see,
like
my massive ignorance
is... a certain
is...
atmosphere of... a certain air of professorial dignity.
My ignorance is just a facade to draw out your ignorance, and then I can tell you all the things I really know about Mongolia.
Oh, right, okay. So now that I've confirmed that I don't know if it's hot or cold, or how big it is, or whether certain portions of a martial arts film from the 90s were shot there... you are now going to drop some Mongolian knowledge on my ass.
Well, I mean, it's generally, so I think probably the high point, the Mongolians listening might disagree with me, but it was probably Genghis Khan era when they did basically conquer the entire world.
And it's, yes.
It's just weird that every country kind of gets their own little chance to conquer the whole world, and then they just go back to being Mongolia or... Macedonia.
I'm not sure every country has conquered the entire world.
Most have, I think. Name a country, I'll tell you if it's conquered the world.
The Tuvalu Islands.
No.
No.
That has never conquered the world.
No, it hasn't, has it? New Zealand.
It's conquered our hearts.
Has it?
Well, New Zealand. New Zealand, they conquered
the Maybe we should review the Tuvalu Islands next, so I want to hear all your informed and knowledgeable contributions on that subject.
Tuvalu. I want to be like you.
Yes. New Zealand?
Nope. They have never conquered the world either.
Spain?
I was kind of hoping you'd go for like Britain or Macedonia or Spain. Spain conquered, well, they conquered a lot of South America.
They conquered regions of the world, but that wasn't what you said, was it, James? You didn't just say somewhere that has had any semblance of foreign possessions or, you know, an empire at all. You said that has conquered the entire world. You said every country has conquered the entire world.
I think I said pretty
much
every country.
And that was the dumbest thing that anyone has ever said since 5 minutes ago when we were talking about Mongolia.
But yeah, so the Mongols, they pretty much conquered the entire world and took over China. So you had a Khan ruling China, like Kublai Khan. He was a Khan. He was Genghis Khan's grandson, I believe.
There you go. Wow.
And wasn't there that thing about, like, every person has, like, Genghis Khan's DNA in them or something?
But every person has everyone's DNA in them. Who was around that long ago.
Sicko.
And what are you saying?
I'm saying I think Genghis Khan probably made it with a lot of ladies.
I think he probably did, all over the whole entire world while he was conquering.
Yeah. Well, why else would you conquer the world? Not to impress the ladies.
I'm not sure it was so much about impressing the ladies as, you know, forcing himself upon the ladies. Not that I don't want to call Genghis Khan out for his, you know, behaviour.
Maybe it's time we did.
If Genghis Khan listens to this, I didn't mean to cause any offence, man, and I've always been a big fan of your work. And, yeah, you're great. Love you. 9 out of 10, Genghis Khan.
He's still going to come and haunt you.
I do actually love Genghis Khan simply because of his portrayal in Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Which was slightly offensive in it, as you know, one of the great military strategists ever. And he was kind of just a simpleton who was quite good at martial arts for some reason.
If you're saying that it was in some ways a demeaning and simplistic and possibly
I would say Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure was a reductive view of history without exploring the full complexities of some of the characters they portrayed.
Do you know what, James? I think that's actually fair to say.
And yet, still one of the greatest films of all time.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I don't think I have quite the obsessive love for that film that you did.
Well, I always preferred Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey.
Yes, I remember that. Do you remember wanting to... You tried to make your jacket look like Keanu Reeves's in Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey.
Yeah, I tried to make my hair look like his as well.
That's awesome. He was your childhood role model. And how you must have disappointed him.
Oh, I think I've grown with Keanu, you know. Becoming a really? Tough guy when he took on speed and then delving into my spiritual side for The Matrix and then, I don't know, affecting a very poor English accent when he did a... Much Ado About Nothing, was it?
And Bram Stoker's Dracula, I believe.
Yes.
It's true, your English accent is risible.
Right, should we just pretend we weren't reviewing Mongolia and instead of reviewing Keanu Reeves?
No, that's insane. And if you go down that road, then just sheer chaos lies. We are reviewing Mongolia. It was your fucking idea. And we are going to see this through to the bitter, bitter end.
It will be bitter. This is supposed to be like a quick review as well.
It is. We've said literally 30 seconds on Mongolia. The review has been very quick. The bullshit surrounding the review has been expansive.
All right, Mongolia, big, either hot or cold, and produced Genghis Khan. 4 out of 10.
Mongolia, the biggest and also the best country in the world. 9.5 out of 10.
Right, so giving it an aggregate score of, what do we say, 6.75, I want to say?
You're the numbers guy, I'll go with that. 6.75, Mongolia.
Why not visit Mongolia for your next holiday?
Unified Review Theory is brought to you in association with Mongolia.
It's not China Mongolia. Or Russia.
It's big.
Biggest country in the world, I'd say.
Best.
Yay! So that was Mongolia. Now let's move on to our main review of the evening.
So that was our main review of the evening.
No, this is going to be even more diversive and thrill-packed.
Even more divisive, I thought you said for a second.
I tell you, well, you know, there's a lot of...
If that's even possible.
Pro and anti-Mongolia feeling running high these days at... We'll just
gonna
be stoking the flames.
Going to have to shut down the comment section on this one.
Yes. Yeah. Anyway, we're finished talking about Mongolia, Neil.
I'm sorry, I'm just completely obsessed with Mongolia, as you know. It's a bit of a hobby horse of mine. And as soon as anyone gets started talking about Mongolia, I'd bang on all night.
Yeah, I know. You're down the pub and it's like, oh no, it's Neil. Gets one pint in him and all he'll talk about is the steeps of Mongolia.
No, but they love it because I only ever drink at the Mongolian walk bars.
Do you know how the walks came about?
They were their shields.
They were their shields? How cool is that?
That's awesome. They cooked stir fries in their shields. And then they were like killing dudes while smelling of, you know, garlic.
Do you think they'd attract people with like, you know, noodles and then they'd chop their heads off?
Yes.
Neil, stop talking about Mongolia. Curse you.
I will. I mean, it's hard for me, but I'm going to force myself to stop dropping all these facts about Mongolia.
Right, our next subject for review is the American sitcom How I Met Your Mother, which we have actually talked about quite a lot before, but, you know, I think still has...
I don't think we've talked about it very much. I think we may have touched on it briefly.
Tangentially.
Now, this is, you know, it speaks to a lot about both our personalities, I think, in that a, you know, huge nation with millions of inhabitants and a key part of world history we know nothing about, substandard American sitcom.
Substandard?
Oh, wow.
Bite your tongue, mister.
This is proving divisive already. Who knew? Yeah, but I would wager we know a bit more about this subject and probably have more to say. Isn't that awful?
Yeah, but, you know, there's not like a weekly half-hour TV show about Mongolia on...
I bet there is.
Weekly half-hour TV show about Mongolia?
On Mongolian TV.
Probably there is, but...
Probably several.
That's not one of the channels I subscribe to.
Well, that's because you're an ignorant racist.
Stop talking about Mongolia! It's beyond a joke.
When Mongolia produces its own remake of How I Met Your Mother, I can stop talking about it.
Yoshima hasn't.
That's true. That was quite ignorant and racist.
So, briefly touch on what the concept of How I Met Your Mother is. It's about how a guy met some kid's mother. Each episode.
We assume his kids, right?
Yes, we
assume
do.
They're not just two random kids, so that's going to be like the twist ending. Just random kids.
That would be. he's broken into their house.
And he knows their mother. Like, he met her. They're work colleagues or something. But they didn't really want to spend the last decade. How they met in a meeting once.
Yeah, that's why they never leave that room.
That would be a great twist ending,
wouldn't
it?
Because they are locked in there.
That would be an awesome twist ending to How I Met Your Mother.
No one would be expecting it, apart from us, of course.
That's true. We could be really smug on our How I Met Your Mother discussion sites.
Yeah, saw that one coming a mile off. Home invasion twist ending.
Which How I Met Your Mother fan sites and discussion forums are your favourites? Like, which sites do you go to most, would you say?
Mongolian fans of How I Met Your Mother.
That's right, How I Met Your Mongol Horde. That's my favourite, .com.
So this guy is telling these kids a story of how he met their mother.
Yeah, so it's basically Friends, but with a wafer-thin high concept wrapped around either end of it.
Yeah, which I feel the writers are maybe feeling like this concept is become more of a curse than a blessing now.
I think that's been true since about halfway through the first series.
Because basically, this guy... you got your romantic lead, Ted, who is the father.
Yes.
And he is... the one you're rooting for and your identification character, I would guess. And his entire defining characteristic seems to be that, you know, he wants to settle down and have kids with someone. But,
yes.
In some cruel, ironic twist of fate, the more successful his antics are, the longer he has to go before achieving his dream.
Oh, God, that's horribly true, isn't it? Yeah. He is cursed by a creator... he never asked for that. Yes, to be tormented, and the more entertaining his torment, the longer it will continue. That's really tragic, James. That's bummed me right out.
the tears behind the clown makeup of Ted Mosby.
I feel bad for Ted Mosby now.
But yes, so and he has. It's not just about him. He's got pals as well. He's got a girl who obviously it means he spends half his time in love with because. They're the other character who's a girl.
Yes.
And then he's got...
He has a love interest character, and he has some other supporting characters. They are very good. They are a great, you know, bunch of sitcom characters. They're entertaining people to watch and, you know, see their little antics every week.
And a very high-caliber cast, I would say.
Yeah, excellent cast. Excellent comedic... skills all round, really. There's not a dud, I would say.
Robin's never really clicked for me. Robin is the girl one.
Kobe Smulders.
Mm. Maria Hill in the Avengers, if you want to do a callback to
her. That is our linking theme this week. We are continuing our month-long Kobe Smulders season here on Unified Review Theory.
I think we're going to have to hit IMDb pretty hard before next.
We actually should, because it would get pretty weird pretty fast, right? And there'd be some eminently reviewable works on that IMDb filmography, I would imagine.
Or just dross.
By which I mean terrible films, yes. Terrible films.
I don't know. Terrible films are always a bit of a gamble, because they're either amusing kind of harem, scarem style ones that give you hours of entertainment talking about them afterwards, or just sheer horrible anguish creating things like Couples Retreat.
Oh, God. Have we ever reviewed that?
I think we reviewed it on Twitter.
Yeah.
Possibly gave it naught out of 10.
I'd say that was fair, yeah. That was the worst film I've ever seen.
So
that was hyperbolic, wasn't it? But it was very, 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 very poor.
Very, very, very contained.
James made us all watch Couples Retreat, everybody.
Me?
James's.
It was my choice, actually.
Yeah.
Well, I thought, you know.
I just want that to be a matter of public record.
It's got Vince Vaughn and Jon Favreau. They were good together in Swingers.
Yes.
And it's got lots and lots of fat, middle-aged men with their tops off.
So bad, though, that now it's ruined Swingers. Like, because I actively hate both those guys.
So you can't watch it without thinking of those icky characters.
You know, Swingers is an... a heartfelt, romantic, sort of optimistic work about someone who's young and finding their place in the world. And,
like Ted Mosby.
You know, much like Ted Mosby. And looking for love and a bit of a secret romantic, you know, and after an unsuccessful love life. A bit like Ted Mosby. And so you're sort of rooting for the guy, and it is quite a heartfelt and very well scripted and performed film. But now you know that he turns into that monster, that just sheer, galling turd. I realise they're not, the same character,
but they are.
I hate Jon Favreau now with a passion, because he was that guy.
Yes.
And,
But getting back to How I Met Your Mother.
I thought we were doing Mongolia still.
That was where the Couples Retreat occurred.
There's the sequel right there.
Couples Retreat Go Mad in Mongolia.
Yes. Anyway, yeah, so getting back to Couples Retreat.
No! Getting back to How I Met Your Mother.
Getting back away from Couples Retreat,
I have things to say about How I Met Your Mother. And...
Okay, I have things to say about Couples Retreat, never mind.
Well, let's save it for another day, okay?
Okay. So, How I Met Your Mother.
Yes.
Excellent cast,
and
got your Kobe Smulders, you got your Jason Segel,
Steven Segel.
You've got Steven Segel. You've got the dude who played Genghis Khan in the Next X-Men Adventure.
Got Doogie Howser.
You've got Doogie Howser, amazing. Enjoying the great sort of second act of his American life, I would say, in How I Met Your Mother.
Yes.
I mean, I never expected to be watching a show with Doogie Howser in again, ever. And that guy's pretty funny.
Yes, he is very funny. And also, I think a good rapport between the characters, like, you know, they see...
Yes.
It actually makes you feel like, you know, they could be friends off set. Like, I like to think they are.
I bet they all totally hate each other.
No, I think they all, after they've, like, you know, sat in the bar pretending to drink, they go to an actual bar and drink, and then, you know, the adventures continue.
And that's a really beautiful and childlike dream, James. Quite charming, really.
And I bet Jason Segel and Alison Hannigan are really married.
Yeah, they are, actually, in real life. That's true.
But to other people.
Yes, that's also true.
Isn't she married to the guy who plays...
And Doogie Howser is a real womanizing jerk in real life, too. So that's all real.
Doogie Howser is. Neil Patrick Harris isn't.
You just blew my mind. And the so you've got all those great actors, as you say, great rapport and sort of chemistry and comedic. And then you've got the guy who plays Ted.
Hey, what are you saying?
I'm just being mean to him because I know that you like that guy. But no, I love that guy. He's amazing.
He's great. But yeah. So
I would say, actually, seeing as we are going to nerd out quite hard here and reveal how much we have watched this show, I would say that Ted's been having a very good sort of run lately. I think he's a funnier character than he was at first because he's allowed to be more of a sort of fuck-up.
Yeah, exactly. And because they've kind of run out of doing any kind of romantic things with him at all. He just has to be the storyline that isn't about, you know, longing and yearning and all of that.
Yeah, I mean, they do keep going stuff. Back to it, you know. They still go back to it anyway, but he is allowed to do some of the stuff in between now.
Yeah. Which, well, this current series 7, is it?
God almighty.
The one that's on
tonight.
Yeah,
apparently so, yeah. Yeah.
Is actually, I think, it's something of a return to form. I mean, it still has the endemic problems of...
It's something of a return to form, yeah. Although, you know, I think last week's one wasn't great, and I have gone back and watched the first series a second time, and that was some great sort of comedic, you know, just it was all gelling at a couple of points there. There's some just great.
Yeah, you say you were comparing it to Friends initially. I think it's more similar to Coupling.
It's trying to be Coupling, yes.
Well, it has. So sometimes it has the interesting episode structures, and I think, you know, the dynamics is more of a Coupling dynamic.
Well, it's trying to do that sort of formal sort of experimentation and sort of playing around with it and being a bit more clever and interesting in those ways. But in terms of the characters, it's very much Friends. It's, you know, they're likeable. They're, you know, all basically sort of people you would want to hang out with, and so it's kind of fun to hang out with them. Whereas Coupling, I don't know, that's quite true so much. Or...
You wouldn't want to hang out with Jeff?
No.
Oh. Imagine how Steve would get a bit.
Hang out with any of those people, they were ghastly.
Even the chicks? Even the ladies?
The chicks.
The ladies?
Even the chicks. Oh yeah, make it better.
The gals?
They were awful. They were Stephen Moffat penned female characters. No, I would not want to spend time with them.
Yeah, but that meant that they were kind of nerds' fantasy views of what women are.
Yes. That's not necessarily what I want to spend time with, is all I'm saying.
I suppose you'd prefer, like, real women with, you know, real emotions and things.
Well, just because they exist and stuff, yes. Generally, I prefer women that exist to women that don't exist.
Such a square.
Yeah.
So, getting back to How I Met Your Mother.
I think, yeah, so it had a... Really, what, was it the first season? Anyway, early on, there was a run of great, you know.
Yeah.
They were sort of doing the flashbacks and the playing around and the sort of filling you in the story in weird and different ways, and also just sort of the ensemble was really clicking. And so it was all just great writing and great comedy, but you did still kind of give a crap about Ted and the mother thing at that point, I guess.
Yes.
And I think it's been, you know, better than it was for a while this season, I'd say. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I've noticed with How I Met Your Mother, it generally goes good episode, bad episode. I don't know if that's because of the writing structure or something like that, but you kind of... In a way, it's good, because if you see a rubbish episode, you think, oh, well, next one will probably be good. But also means if you see a good one, it means, oh, probably next one will be rubbish. Well, because I think they showed them as double bills, or when we got them on DVDs, I was forced to watch them like two at a time, and so it is more noticeable then.
Oh, you have them all on DVD?
I had the first few series. It was quite annoying. I bought them. So I watched the first series when it was on BBC, which is a long time ago.
Oh, right, yeah.
And really enjoyed
it,
and then waited and thought, right, no one's ever going to show the rest of these, because up to like series 4. In America.
Yeah.
So I sprung for the whole lot on DVD, and then, like, next week they started on E4, like, you know,
that
every day.
That's frustrating. It's the new Friends. Yeah, but okay, fair enough.
But there's still half the episodes being very good is better than a lot of sitcoms, you know, so...
That's why I described it as a subpar American sitcom in my opening remarks. Just because it is a very sort of traditional American sitcom, for all the sort of playing around and flashbacking and what have you, It's a very traditional American situation comedy in a lot of ways, and it feels traditional. You know, you've got sort of your sets, you know, and you've got your sort of...
It's not part of your new wave of offices and communities.
You've got your laugh track and your just sort of sitcom-y setups and punchlines, you know.
But sometimes you just want a sitcom, you know.
No, absolutely, absolutely you do, and that's why I watch the show enthusiastically and love it. But it's not as good, you know, as a piece of a product of human art, as because the bar's been raised so high now, I would say, you know, in American television comedy, and it's not.
Well, it depends what you find good as. I mean, so artistically, it's not as good. Is that what you're saying?
The jokes aren't as good. It's not as funny. It's not.
I would disagree. It makes me laugh as much as say The Office does.
Does it make you laugh as much as, say, Arrested Development?
Well, Arrested Development is that's not a fair comparison, you know. That's like saying, oh, well, that comic you drew isn't as good as Fantastic Four 1. Or
Fuck you, man.
Yeah, I chose a bad example. That one you just drew was as good as Fantastic Four 1, but...
Damn right. Could you bleep out my... unwarranted swearing there, because I've been quite good at not swearing so far, and I really let myself down there.
That would involve me learning how to bleep things.
Oh yeah, alright, don't worry about it.
I'll tell you what, I'll just record myself saying bleep and then play it over.
there you go. Where were we? You were insulting me and saying I'm not as good as Jack Kirby.
No, I'm just saying saying that How I Met Your Mother isn't as good as Arrested Development isn't as funny as Arrested Development.
Well, I would say it's not as good as Arrested Development. Just, you know, it's really likeable, but it does have some really just bad episodes, you know, just...
That is true.
Bad, obvious, plodding, predictable, just so fake and sitcom-y.
Yes.
You know, and so I would say, overall, on average, it's nowhere near your Arrested Development, so I wouldn't say it's anywhere near as good as Curb Your Enthusiasm or Community.
I think
or
I'd rather
Rock
watch it than Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Oh, really?
Definitely, yeah.
I mean, I probably would as well, but for the same reasons that I'd rather watch it than, you know, other things that are objectively better, you know, because it's a very easy watch, you know. It's about the easiest watch there is. We were talking just the other week about how it's almost our sort of default state.
Yeah.
If we're tired or lazy or, you know...
But A, I think, you know, don't underestimate how much work it is to make an easy watch.
Yeah.
And B, if something is a comedy, then its primary objective is to entertain and amuse you. So some things do more than that, which is good, but I think it's also good to have things which just do that very well.
Yeah, no, but I'd say that something like Curb Your Enthusiasm, while being more sort of interesting and challenging in some ways than a show like How Many Mother, it's also just much, much funnier.
Yeah, but
like, there are moments in Curb Your Enthusiasm that are the funniest things you'll ever see.
You say that because you're critically stunted.
So that's where we're going with this. We're just abandoning actual debate and jumping straight to critically stunted.
Well, if you make such a clearly wrong statement as that, then...
I think if you took a poll of like 1,000 critics, they would probably come down on the side of Curb Your Enthusiasm being a funnier, better TV show than How About Your Mother. So I wouldn't just start calling names, is all I'm saying.
Well, Chris has got their heads up their ass. I think if you took a sample of 1,000 people who lived in the Midwest of America,
like you.
And wore check shirts. And
I can see where you're going with this, and it's just bumming me out to watch.
Drove Toyotas.
Yeah.
Toyotas?
No, not Toyota. I mean, I don't know what stereotype you're going for here exactly. It could be some insanely specific stereotype that I just haven't cottoned onto yet. Those Toyota driving, check shirt wearing, urban. Midwest metrosexuals.
Who care about the environment?
Yeah.
But, you know...
Anyway.
Also like to kick back sometimes and just not think about things too much.
I think I agree with all you say, and I think having that kind of charm and maintaining that kind of sort of charm and easy watchness for several seasons is no mean feat at all.
I apologise for saying you were critically stunted. That was wrong of me.
Unusual to get an apology out of you for anything, actually, so that's rather delightful. What was that? That's really thrown me. I'm stunned.
That was the plan.
I'm saying it's no mean feat at all to be sort of an easy watch and be charming and not just lapse into complete obnoxiousness for, as you say, I think 7 seasons. That's not bad at all. I'm not knocking it. I'm just saying it's funny and great sometimes, and it's pretty just plain rubbish other times. And over the course of its 7 seasons, it's been pretty plain rubbish for quite a lot of that. Do you remember the season with the Arcadian?
Yeah, the last one.
Yes.
But it did have Carl McLaughlin in.
That was pretty much just the biggest pile of poo ever, though, right? I mean,
yeah, it wasn't great.
That was a lot of poo.
Yes.
That's all I'm saying. It's not. Its artistic standards are impeachable, I would say.
Yes. Okay, but it is the only thing on at the moment that I actually look forward to it being on, I think.
On TV.
On the television.
On the televisions. I think it's the only... Yeah, God, this is bleak and depressing, but like, it's the only series record I've got set up, you know? It's the only thing on TV that I watch sort of with regularity. I watch other things, of course, but through the magic of living in the 21st century, the only actual TV programme that's on TV that I think I watch, as well as, you know, the Newsnight and...
Imagine when it's about, you know...
Yeah. Yeah,
Danish.
All your
playwrights,
all your Danish things. Yeah, all them, and also How About Your Mother? Yeah. So I do really like it, but I'm saying it's not that good, which is confusing to me.
It's just your self-loathing coming through again, though, isn't it?
I just don't think it's that good. I think it's really likeable and, you know, charming and easy to watch, but I don't think it's that great as a, you know, I don't think it's that funny a lot of the time, frankly. I'm sounding really harsh now. I do like the show. Why am I being so mean?
Because you're always mean. You're like a mean man.
I was really nice about the Mongolians. Unlike you. You should hear the stuff we had to cut out of this. My God.
I just think they're, you know, not quite human.
My God.
They're better than human. I believe How I Met Your Mother, because, you know, so basically the writers, it was based on them and their friends. I think that shows sometimes, because within it's kind of nothing ever changes because it's a sitcom. You do actually get some changes, you know, people move and people get pregnant and, you know, people change their career aspirations.
Well, they do a bit, but,
you know. Within its constraints, within the fact that it has to be able to, you have to be able to watch any episode at any point and understand what's going on.
The point is that they have enough changes to make it sort of give it this sort of feeling of realism or, you know, plausibility. But for those characters 7 years in to still be sort of all hanging out in that way.
Yeah.
In that
part. As I say, within the constraints. But you didn't let me finish. What I was going to say was, so the people who wrote it, who it's based on their lives, they are actually Mongolian, ironically.
Oh, right, I see. That's unexpected.
And so it was a remake of a.
So what, they're like Mongolians in New York, or they? Just
no,
wrote
in
it about...
Mongoliopolis.
Oh, Jesus!
The capital city of Mongolia.
Oh. Flipping.
Just hanging out with their friends, you know, in the Mongolian bar. And
I would say, actually, that was one of the things that first appealed to me. For all I say that it's very fake and sitcomy and inauthentic, certainly in the early days, at least, it did have a feel, it felt more sort of true to, I don't know, true to some kind of experience, or true to sort of, it felt more like real life as I knew it than most sort of American sitcoms. Certainly more than, you know, something like Friends or something like.
Yeah.
He seemed like sort of people you could imagine hanging out with, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's gone. That's gone, I would say, completely. But that was one of the appeals in its early days.
And another thing to say in its to use against it is the character, is it Martin Short, the guy from the Three Amigos?
Yeah.
He plays the environmental lawyer, and he is just terrible.
He's from another planet.
And
yeah, like I say, sort of any kind of veracity or attempt at feeling like a sort of real world sitcom has long since gone, I think.
Yeah, I think that is a good signifier of what it does do very badly. So when it does things wrong, it does do them very wrong.
Doesn't do wacky very well.
Yeah, so I'm torn because I want it to finish because obviously they're dragging the story out longer than it should go, and you know, you don't. There's a danger of it just getting absolutely awful. There's always that tendency there. I mean, it doesn't always come to it, but there's a tendency there. But I really enjoy watching it, and I'd be sad if it had gone. But I think maybe it's built up enough episodes that I could just, you know, watch them all again and then wait a few years and then watch them all again.
It has built up a lot of episodes. I mean, you're not going to be... But the thing is, there's so many stinkers that you wouldn't presumably be rewatching it in the way you might rewatch a Arrested Development or a Seinfeld or, you know, you're not going to work your way through the whole lot because there's hundreds of the damn things. It's like sitting with a Friends box set. Why would anyone do that?
So you can follow the nuanced storylines and, you know, watch the subtle character developments.
Yeah, fair enough, yeah. Yeah, no, I know. I mean, I'm not actually that fussed about the whole, you know, ongoing storyline. People seem to have a real problem. It's like, oh, just meet the mother already, Jesus. Like, I don't really care about that. I just want it to be good and funny. If it's good and funny, I'd be happy for it to go on forever.
Yeah, if it's good and funny, if it didn't ever try and, you know, keep on giving little teases and giving little, oh, and that was a, you know, that was when I actually met her. Oh, but no, that happened 7 years later, and, you know, that kind of thing. It does get a bit...
Yeah, they're having their cake and eating it, but... like, for example, again, to lapse into nerdy specificity, the episode was on the other week, and it was about, like, Ted and Robin sort of addressing that relationship, and, like, finally sort of putting it to bed, like, this isn't going to happen, just, you know. And it did that quite well, I thought, and was sort of quite... felt almost real in moments, and, you know, you cared about the characters and stuff. And you did a very good job of finally sort of putting this damn thing to bed and making you move on. And then just at the very end, it's like, oh, we'll just still, you know, dangle the idea that maybe they will.
And which thought, they're not going
fuck
to.
Off now.
Because that's the thing, we know they're not going to. So it's not really like it's a, will they, won't
well,
they?
Well, if you believe the rules, it seems like they're just trying to have their cake and eat it every which possible way. Like, if this is a thing that might get people to care about this story, then we will do it, you know.
Yeah.
You can't have both ends of that. I think it's dishonest and lame.
Okay, so to sum up, what can people take home from this as a learning point about How I Met Your Mother?
I'm quite mean about things that are good and that I like, and that you have really low critical standards.
I think How I Met Your Mother is a very good, polished, well-written, well-directed, well-performed example of a sitcom, but it in no way transcends
itself. That's fair. I think it's, you know, and I think it's because you have such a fondness for the particular genre that it is a well-polished example of, that, you know, you regard it maybe higher than it objectively deserves, because you like your sort of your crappy American sitcoms, let's be honest.
Yeah, but to address that point, whatever my opinion is objectively right. That is the whole concept of this.
Mine, not yours.
Oh, I'm getting confused.
You're like my... No, this is like, I say how good things are, and you're my little sort of comedy troll sidekick who gets things wrong, and we all laugh about it.
No, you are you're the Carl Pilkington of this arrangement.
Not even going to dignify that one. Okay, so, yeah, no, it's good, I like it, yeah, it's alright.
Okay, it's How right. I Met Your Mother, yeah, it's good. Could have just said that. Saved everyone a lot of time.
We could talk some more about Mongolia if you'd like.
Yeah, I really didn't mean it, Mongolians. I have the utmost respect for your people and culture.
Oh, you sicken me. I just... Yeah, like, genuinely, I'm not even saying that for comic effect now. You just sicken me.
No, it's true. I've always felt some kind of, you know... My soul cries out to Mongolia. It's like, maybe, I don't know, I'm reincarnation of Genghis Khan or something, but it's just...
Maybe. I've always been one of the other Mongolians.
Strangely attracted to just everything about Mongolia.
I remember being really fed up with my job several years ago when I had a job, you know. And I guess, yeah, so back when I had a job, and I think when I first met Di, and I was like, I've had it with this rubbish, and she was trying to persuade me to pack in my job and go to Ulaanbaatar on a motorbike.
Where's Ulaanbaatar? Like,
not together, this was before we were going out, she just thought I should piss off to Ulaanbaatar on a motorbike, and that story struck me as a rather wonderful notion.
Was that her response when you asked her out for the first time?
Yeah, she was like, we could, or...
Here's an idea. Just putting it on the table, maybe you sort off to Ulaanbaatar.
And then when you get back, you know, yeah, maybe then.
Maybe then.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. So I did.
You won her heart.
Yeah, that's how I met your mother, James.
How I met your sister-in-law.
How I met your sister-in-law, yes.
Good. So, How I Met Your Mother, it is good, I like it, 8.1 out of 10.
I would, as we've established, I think I'm a slightly tougher scorer than you, but I'm going to be, for me, very generous, and I'm going to give it a 7 out of 10, which is an A. It doesn't deserve an A, I would say, in the grand scheme of things, but I'll give it a 7.
Get
out
off
ten.
Your 7 is an A. 8's an A, right. 9's an A star, and 10's an A double star. 7 is a B.
Fair enough. 7's a B. So, all right, I'll give it a strong B. I think that's about right.
No, wait, actually, 6 is a B. Because what's a C? Oh, now I've confused myself.
I'm going to give it 6.5 out of 10.
Oh, don't... Because of what I said. Right, I'm going to give it 9
seven.
Out of 10.
7.
Okay, 8.1. So, 7.55.
That's pretty good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Is it better than Mongolia?
Yeah. Only because you're insanely racist down scoring of Mongolia. Which I hope you feel bad for forever.
I do. But what it's done now, you know, we can't dwell on the past.
Okay, fair enough. That them's the breaks. How I Met Your Mother, the sitcom, is better than an entire nation of people with all their aspirations and dreams and achievements and proud heritage and history. How I Met Your Mother is markedly better.
Yeah, but they never had anything as great as the Swami episode.
Oh, that was pretty great, yeah. And the Slapbit episode.
Slapbit, yeah.
Okay, there you go.
Okay, well, I hope you've all got all the critical, nuanced argument you require for the foreseeable future.
Yes, and join us here again in a couple of weeks' time for more nuanced critical analysis of whatever we happen to decide to talk about 5 seconds before pressing record.
I rather fancy we should take on Uzbekistan next week.
Oh, God, let's just not. Let's just not. Okay, I'm Neil. You can look at my comics and stuff. They're really good. You can read about them on the internet and then buy them for money.
And I'm James, and you can...
I should say, where should I? NeilCameron.com is probably the best place to start. It's got two L's in. And sorry, James, you were saying.
I was just going to say, I'm James, and you can shake my hand if you see me walking down the street.
You can't for me, obviously.
Nobody touches Mr. Cameron.
Just obviously. Yeah, but you can shake James's hand and give him a little pat on the head. Pinch his cheeks.
Especially if you're Mongolian. Right, guys?
Yes. Oh, God. That's when Unified Review Theory. We're never going to do this again, so join us. Never.
Okay, bye!
Bye!
Brian Redhead of the Today programme, but he got his name because he used to dip his head in the blood of travellers.